this morning. Is that right? Or maybe we would appreciate the heat more if we came into a cold place. I asked a Amish lady I've gotten to know a little while back, I said, how do you keep warm in your buggies? She says, we take some gallons of hot water with us to keep our feet warm. And I said, some mornings that can't stay hot very long. No, she says, it doesn't. So we're thankful for a car you get in while you go out. At least ours you have to go out to. Maybe yours you sit in the house, push a button, and it starts. And then you run out, and it's all warmed up, right? Ready to go. When I was a kid coming up, our bedrooms were so cold upstairs. They're only heated by wood, and we seldom got up middle night to stoke up the fire. But on the mirrors upstairs, there was usually real icy around the edge of the mirrors. And what it did, it got you going quicker because you didn't hang around, and you got to the barn faster because the barn was warm, you know, a nice warm place out there. And one of us sort of took turns getting the fire going while the others went out or getting it redone, reset up. Well, all of that kind of helps a little bit to lead into the things here on a New Year's Eve day. And just a reminder, next Sunday as we participate in the great joy and delight of remembrance of Christ, the cross, his shed blood, and that of the ministry he has placed us into. I always think of the Lord's table as it's a family time. You know, it's a gathering together. It's a closeness. And I might just encourage you, there's no one going to make it happen. We're not going to corral you like cattle. But maybe next Sunday morning, I'll sit in these two front sections here, close together, easier to serve the Lord's table, and it shows a family united and working together. And I know you got your favorite pews, and I know there's nothing like that pew, but it'll be there the next week for you. So maybe at the beginning of the new year, a little change for 1 hour anyway. And kind of, if you think of it, remember, try to kind of gather in the middle, and it'll look so much, feel even so much more like the closeness of the Lord's table and the message of it and the unity of it, because it's we partake together, remember, and it's a precious time of thinking through the wonderful things of the message and the ministry of the Lord's table. Well, there, I probably just ruined your day saying all that. But just maybe something to think upon a little bit there. I want to think this morning, the end of the year, the beginning of the year, on things that are very familiar. I will be telling you nothing new. And that really should be the case of the Scriptures. We don't have anything new. We have the Word of God. And it hasn't changed. It's the day it was set forth. And so the message and messages of it we have heard and delighted in and rejoice in. And it's the same word that encouraged the hearts of believers so many, many years ago and down through the centuries. And here the same word that encourages us on being consistent in our reading of the Scriptures, being consistent in our study of the Word, being consistent in our contemplation of the Word. A little pet peeve of mine, I don't think we sit and contemplate what we have read far enough. We are usually crowding our time of some Bible reading, sometimes we call it devotions or a time with the Lord, and sometimes we kind of compact it all together, maybe just listen to something on the radio on the way to work, or have it at night when we fall asleep. But my little pet peeve is we don't give enough time thinking about what we have just read in the scriptures, kind of pondering it and mulling it over and letting it be that which works in our hearts and our minds and our souls, so that we not only see it with our eyes and think of it in our mind and have it to settle in our hearts, but we let it go further in that we go to work with it, with our legs, our hands, we put it into practice. I have a devotional book. I've used it different times. It's by a William Jay pastor. It was written in 1870, called The Morning Exercises. Morning Exercises Every Day of the Year. And at the beginning of this, as an introduction in it, this William Jay had the following, or has the following, and I have it here to read this morning hour. It's some words from a Baptist preacher by the name of Isaac Watts, who lived in 1774-1748, Baptist preacher, hymn writer, theologian. He wrote a few hymns, about 750 of them, and he had an emphasis in his time of taking the Word of God more than just the Psalms. The Psalms are primarily the songbook, and nothing wrong with that, but it is the songbook of the Scriptures. But he encouraged a movement also of using hymns made on other portions of Scripture, particularly the New Testament. But anyway, here's what, at this devotional book, at the opening of it, here's a little statement that he wrote. And he said, the testimonies of thy grace, of course, that's the Word of God, the testimonies of the grace of God, the testimonies of thy grace I set before my eyes. Thence I derive my daily strength. And there my comfort lies. Thy word is everlasting truth. How pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and well support our age. Speaking of the physical age. So he says the holy book shall guide our youth. We teach the Word of God to our young people and will support our age, whatever age we are at this morning hour and here at the end of the year, the beginning of the year, the things of the Word of God will indeed support us, encourage us. And so I want to pull that out of this portion of Scripture out of Peter this morning hour and have it, we trust, as something to minister and encourage to us in these days which God has us living. While these days, I don't have to say to us, are bitterly cold. Where I was brought up in Western New York, I noted, I have on my phone the weather, you know, and for different areas, and I was 3 below where I was brought up. So I'm glad I wasn't there. I was where we were, it was 14 degrees warmer than that. That is, it was 11 out. And I remember some mornings when it was literally 40 below there in central New York, and there wasn't a thing stirring, believe me. In fact, we were thankful we had a car or a truck that was still a standard start, because we lived on the top of a hill, and the only thing starting and on the road was one of our cars that we, the boys, would push out of the driveway and push it down the hill and pop the clutch to get it started, because nothing else was going to start them. And so I'm thankful. Woke up this morning, nice warm house. I didn't have to go out to the barn, didn't have to go out and do anything outside, you know. And these are bitterly cold days, and they don't have to tell you that we're living in. But I do want to say we don't have to allow, and we must not allow, our souls to become cold and bitter in the sin-drenched, cold-to-God world that we're living in. I learned early on in life, because it just had to be learned, how to kindle a fire in the oak stove, round oak we had at that time, or how to bank a fire so it would pretty much last the night, and you'd have a little bit of heat at least. These are things learned early on. But I was never taught, however, early on, how to kindle a fire in the heart for the Word of God, and how to keep, as it were, the home fires burning, of the things of the Word of God in a heart and soul and mind, and how to not become cold in the world in which we live. I did learn over a period of time how to keep the fire stoked up of life in the heart, of belonging to God and to Him. But some of the others, that of stoking a fire in the old oak stove, they're just something like you don't forget, right? You just learned how and you just know. And however, when me and my couple of brothers, my dad would sit around the fire, the oak stove at night, because that was the only place there was a little heat in the old house. If you ever had wood stoves, you know, you get warm on one side and you turn around warm the other side, right? Yeah, that's how they worked. And we would sit there, each one had their chair around the stove, and we'd have an apple from the apple bin in the evening. And my mother would come around and complain, "You guys can sit right there in front of the stove and let it go out." And we did, you know. Wasn't about to get up and stoke it for my brother or anything. And we can do the same thing with the Word of God. We can have it right with us. And we can become cold to the things of God. We recall the words there in the book of Acts, where Luke wrote in chapter 28, after being shipwrecked in the Mediterranean, the cold waters, winter, and a floating ashore because the ship had busted up to Malta, the island of Malta. And the scripture says there in Acts 28, verses 1, 2, and 3, Paul says, "We were shown no little kindness, and a fire was kindled. And they were made welcome." And I'm reminded of the need, you know, of kindling the fire of the things of the Word of God every day in our hearts and lives, or we go cold. We can become cold to the words and work of God. We can become cold to the words and work of God, even by way of, you know, coming to church every week, carrying our Bible, singing the songs, doing our usual worship as it is, and return home again and still be cold to the things of God. So our message here is a few little things to encourage us to kind of poke around in the Word, to stoke up the things of the Word of God in our lives, to kind of maybe rekindle the fire of the heart of the things of the Word of God by the Spirit of God. So here in your Bible, 1 Peter we read, a chunk there out of the latter part of chapter 1 and beginning into chapter 2. And to me, this little section brings out a searching question or questions to us. And one particular question would be this: do I have a strong desire to read the written Word of God? Do I have a strong desire to read the written word of God? Or is it really just each Sunday that I open the book and read? Or do I have a real desire? It's in my heart, and I have to set forth and go forth with the things of the Word of God. This scripture portion we read kind of has a flow to it. It goes from point to point. Let me just throw them out to you, and I'm sure you have seen them. When you go to 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 23rd verse, 1 Peter 1:23, where he talks about here having been born again, regenerated, not of a corruptible seed, which rots away, but of incorruptible, and that is through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Interesting thought there on that verse. Many times it's been used, particularly when you go to the next two verses, is kind of the phrase, you know, dead and gone. But here is the idea, it's alive and it abides. The Word of God always that way. Well, we've been regenerated, born again, through the living and abiding Word of God. What do we call that? We call it the new birth. I've been born again, the new birth. Sometimes folks have written down someplace where they were on the date and situation where they were born again. We have our birth certificates that mentions where we were born physically and all the pertinent information with regard to it. And sometimes folks recall or have written down where they were born again, perhaps the date, perhaps some event, situation with regard to it. That takes place. And here he says, you're a newborn. A newborn. Do you remember when you were born again? Remember when you were a newborn into the things of God and the Lord? That's the beginning point. And how did the beginning point begin? Well, it began by way of the incorruptible Word of God working in your heart and mind. And then if you just look down a little bit into verse 25, it reminds us that at the end of verse 25, that the word of the Lord endures forever. And now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. The flow is, you know, from being a newborn now to being thrilled by way of that word, that gospel, recalling our salvation as we are brought into the family of God. And then when you move down to verse 2 of chapter 2, verse 2 of chapter 2, as newborn babes, here's an infant, desires a sincere or pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Infants are hungry. Remember those days not long after you were saved and you were just so hungry for the word? You could not get satisfied. There wasn't enough that you could take in. And there's nothing quite like watching a newborn baby, an infant, guzzle down some milk, is there? It's pretty good. The great desire that they have, they must have it. Hungry for it. See, as newborns, we came into existence by the Word of God. And we continue in the Word of God in that existence of the things of Him. An infant is told to long for the sincere milk of the Word. And we ask our question of ourselves, am I still longing for the Word of God? Is it still that which I long for? I want to have some of it poured into my life, fresh, and that often. So the flow of those verses, you know, was that of birth and growing in the Lord, the infant taking in the Word and growing up in the things of the Lord. Sometimes we look at the portion of Scripture that's before us. You have open there on your lap. That second Peter. That Jay, he left his cough right up here. And I caught it. I'd have someone to blame it on. If you notice right in the middle of this portion, you got there chapter 2 and verse 1 where he throws in a therefore. Since you've been born again, regenerated, brought out by verses 23, 24, 25, he says, since that's happened, you got some work to do. You got some things to put aside, lay aside. And so he says, lay aside the malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Because you know why? You cannot grow and desire and want the things of the Bible, of the Word of God, if those are still the makeup of your life. You must lay them aside. Put aside those. And, of course, other portions list those and tell us more about the taking off of them and putting them aside. But we're going to work right here this morning hour. I know you're a careful reader of the Scriptures. And being a careful readers, we want to note what has been said, what's actually said, and we want to note what is not said. What is not said here. First in verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, where he says before us, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, the Lord is good, the Lord's full of grace, you've tasted the great graciousness of God. It does not say, if you have tasted the milk. So we know he's not talking about things that are of a nature of a beginning relationship with the Lord. But have you tasted the graciousness of God? Can you talk about the goodness of the Lord to others? Can you stand up and declare how the Lord's been gracious to you and ministered to you? And the only way that you can set that forth and declare it and be a one who testifies of it is that because you have tasted. You have tasted. To taste the Word, you have to be a consistent, constant reader of the Word of God. The word taste is what we could call a connecting word. It connects with the milk, the beginning things of the Word of God. However, what we taste is not just the milk of the Word, but we taste the graciousness of the Lord in the partaking of the Word of God. How gracious the Lord is. How gracious. As a boy on the dairy farm, and I pull a lot of my illustrations out of it. It's just natural things in my life. But on the dairy farm, on many a cold winter night, there wasn't a whole lot in the house to eat. My mother would go out to the barn, the cow barn, and we would get sacks of corn, ground corn for the cows. And my mother would go out and sift it out with a sifter to get the fine corn meal. And she would get out of the milk cans there some warm, fresh milk. Mmm. Take that cornbread, that corn in, and bake it up and make some warm cornbread and some warm milk. And to us kids, that was the sweetest taste we thought we had it made. Warm cornbread and warm milk. How good it was. We called it Johnny cake and warm milk. What else? What'd you have for supper last night, Johnny cake? That would be our answer many, many times, because that's what we had and what we grew up on. But you know, to us, that was very good. Very good. Even though that was all there was that we had, it filled the tummy, made us satisfied, settled down in our beds that night. We see that not only did God bring you into spiritual life, remember that back up in verse 23, having been regenerated, have been born again, not of corruptible but of incorruptible, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And just in case she says, you know, it was through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. He brought you into life, spiritual life. You were dead in sin and knew not and cared not for the things of God. And I remember well, and I wish I didn't remember them so well, the days when I cared not for the things of God and walked not in the things of the Word of God. And lived in very ungodly thoughts and ways until being born again by the Word of God, which was heard. So we're encouraged to give out the Word of God, because the Word of God is alive, it's living, and it will do the work of God to bring about souls to Christ, or to convince and convince them to begin the work in their lives of who He was. But I bring that out to say this. Not only does God bring you into the existence of spiritual life by His mercy, by regeneration, the goodness of the new birth, but He extends that to His goodness in us through the living and abiding Word. That is the same Word that He saves us by, regenerates us by, brings us into life by, is the very same Word that He uses to keep us growing and knowing the things of God and walking in that which is right before Him. It's not some other way. It's not I was saved and now I live by the ways of the things taught in some creeds or perhaps a church, but it's by the things of the Word of God. By the Word, we taste His goodness. You tasted the goodness of the Lord? Is it precious to you? Things of God? Maybe we need to stir it up a little bit and poke around in the fire, as it were, of God's goodness and be warmed by the things that have been placed in the Word of God into our hearts. The way to grow is to never lose our desire for His goodness and graciousness that come through the Word of God, where we're nourished. Nourished by the products of a life from which we originated. That which brought us into spiritual life is that which keeps us pressing on in godliness for Him. Now just think for a little bit of that word in verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire. Desire. It's the idea they long for. Long for it. Long for the sincere milk of the Word, the pure milk of the Word. It's more than developing a discipleship to read the Word of God, though that's part of it. It's not so I can just say, well, I read the Bible this morning or I have my time. It's not that. It's more than that. It is that longing in the heart which says, I have to hear from God today what he has for me. I'd like us to, as a church, you to read a verse together. If you would do something for me, find that familiar verse in Psalm number 42. Find Psalm 42 in your Bible. Would you please do that? Familiar to you. I don't think anything unknown here. Psalm 42. And at verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3, Psalm 42, verses 1, 2, and 3. I'd like us to read it together here at this time. Here's this illustration of a deer on the run, maybe being chased or something, and it just has this great need for water and uses it as an illustration here. So let's read. Okay, everyone ready? We'll read together. Psalm 42, beginning at verse 1. We're going to read the three verses, 1, 2, and 3. So here we go. As the deer, that's from the water brooks, so pants my soul. My soul thirsts for living God. When shall I appear? My tears have, while they continually say to me, where's thy God? Familiar with that portion, right? Yeah. As the hart, the deer, pants, or longs for. There's a great craving, a great just upon its mind for a cool drink. So, in the same way of that great need of refreshment, you know, my soul pants my soul for you, O God. Does it? Do our hearts and minds, soul, and just panting for the things of God? Thirst, verse 2. Soul thirsts for God. Do you thirst for the living God? Or some translations have here, the face of God. A pant for the things of God. Where is it with us? How is it with us? When shall I come and appear before God, the face of God? A new year before us. You know, a new year sometimes just means trying to get our minds wrapped around. We got to put the number 18 in the checks instead of 17. And all sorts of things just get all messed up for a while. And but it's a new year. Here's something never gets messed up, you know. That longing. Longing. Is there a longing, a craving, a great hungering? We know physically we hear folks say, oh, I'm so hungry I could eat such and such. Is there such a longing, a hungering? Or the Word of God. His great goodness, that which he has left for us and given to us. We don't read the Bible just so I can say I read it, but we read it so that we'll see the graciousness of God and we'll be fed, strengthened in our hearts and minds as we go forth into a perverse and crooked world. We're ready to speak forth and declare by a godly life lived and by the words of the things of a righteous living out of our lips. When we come back to Peter here and we kind of pull things together a little bit, we would understand that it is quite dangerous, even deadly, to lose our appetite. Lots of times the new year begins and folks say, I'm going to lose weight this year. If you're like me, you've said it for the last 20 years. I'm going to lose weight. If I lost all the weight I was going to lose over the last 20 years, you wouldn't even see me and be up here. But yeah, it's the way we are, you know. We do have a want, and we try, and we work at it, and don't have a great will with regard to it. Too many things taste too good, don't they? Fresh baked rolls. Extra sharp. Cheese. You can't eat just one little bite, you know. So many things, you know. I was brought up on potatoes and meat, so potatoes, yeah. Can't eat it without butter, of course not. But, you know, we have all these things we just desire, we crave. Our mouth kind of waters for them. We think about them. But we know that if we lose our appetite physically, we lose our appetite for food, we do it usually because we're ill, something not quite right going on. And we can understand that. But if we lose our appetite for the Word of God, perhaps probably we have gotten spiritually ill, sick. Something's happened. We are not feeding on the sweetness of the Word of God. A cessation of appetite physically is easier to fix than a cessation from the things of the Word of God and a desire for it. So this portion of Scripture comes before us here of things we have to examine our heart with in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. There's some things we need to lay aside. Perhaps in 2017 we've picked up some of this baggage, this stuff that's hurting our appetite for the things of the Word of God. We need to be laying them aside, you know, malice, and deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and evil speaking. And become the makeup of our lives, and we don't even think about it being there. So we sit down at the Scriptures and think of the goodness of the Lord, and it begins to work in our hearts, and we know we're not enjoying the cross, the Word of God. We're not really enjoying the fellowship one with another when our minds get all clogged up, and occupied with the poison there of verse 1. So put them away. I encourage you to do that. Ask God to examine our heart. You know, that we have the strength and the desire, and do we have the backbone to ask God to examine our hearts and show us what we think we've been hiding away as sin and remove it? Children grow naturally, have a natural appetite, eat, and they have a desire, a craving, and they cry for more. And might we have that craving? You have a craving to cry for God to feed you more of His Word, to be childlike, devoted, an increase in the things of the Lord. Must desire it and taste it, taste that he is gracious. Perhaps we never have tasted. And today, great day, every day is a great day to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Hebrews chapter 6, as with most of the scriptures, to and about believers. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, I use this section of it. It says to believers, those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Have you tasted the things of God? Rejoiced in it? Many of you have tasted and seen indeed that the Lord is good. Psalm 34 and verse 8. It has made you a blessed person, a happy person. Person rejoicing in the things of the Lord. And a couple, 4 weeks ago, we talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and the boldness there of the veil has been removed, where we were blinded to the things of the Word of God. Now we don't cover up the things of the Word of God. It's open and clear, and we give forth the Word of God and rejoice in it. We have a desire and a craving. We must see Jesus, and our heart's desire is for others to see him in us, free to give out the Word of God and to live by it. So our question here, the end of the year, and we're heading into the new year, what are you going to be reading this year? First Peter is beginning to become, after 50-some years of reading the Scriptures, kind of a favorite book of mine. There's a lot of great books in the Bible. You got a great choice, you know. It's not for lack of something to read that we don't read the Scriptures. We are to be readers of the Word of God. We are to have a desire. And the more you read the Word, the greater the desire increases to be in the Word of God. A daily dose of the things of the Scriptures. We must behold His glory. And we'll behold it in the reading of the Word of God. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? I looked up some things. I just never have done it in my life on the tongue and how the tongue works and how it tastes things. Amazing the way God has made us to be able to taste. And then he says to taste the goodness of God. Maybe it's time for you and I to rekindle and poke around in the fire the things of the Word of God. Because God's Word is told, we are told it's a fire. Fire can do great things and good things. And the fire also can, a fire can be used for some very evil and ungodly things. Might we use it for that which is godly? Maybe it's time to us to admit, hey, I've grown a little cold toward the things of God. It's our responsibility to dig around and stoke up the fire. Not depend upon others to do it. But we're to do it. Time to do it. No one else's fault but our own if we grow cold toward the things of the Word of God. So I encourage you to read the Word. As you're reading it, pause and think about what you've read. I've, over the years, encouraged people to use the 3 P's. To have a pen I don't know, maybe a pencil, I guess, another piece. Or and a piece of paper, pad, and the parchment, that is the scriptures. And as you're reading the Word of God, ask questions, write things down. You aren't going to ask anything God can't handle or He's never heard or He don't know about. But pause and consider what you're reading. Think about it. Taste it. Roll it over in your tongue, your mind, and apply it to the heart, and work hard that day of living what you've read, because the Lord is gracious and it's been a sweet taste to your life. Might God give you a great and wonderful new year in the things of the Word of God in such a way that you indeed are a living fire for Him. Our Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the Spirit of God. Thank You for the convicting work of Yourself. Thank You for allowing us to gather together on a cold day and be warmed by worship and praise of You. Thank You, Father, for the delight of being born again and the delight of walking in the counsels of Your Word. Thank You for the craving You've placed in our hearts, a longing to walk with You in the things of the Word. Might it increase and be strengthened, and might we be as those that would warm others to the things of Christ in the year before us. And we'd thank You and praise You for the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.